The Tom Woods Show, episode 1054.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Friends, my Away carry-on helps make my travel a pleasure. It's super strong yet lightweight. And it's even got its own USB charger built in. I'm like the king of the airport with this thing. Take $20 off your suitcase order when you head to awaytravel.com/woods and use promo code Woods at checkout. Hello, everybody. Tom Woods here. We're talking to Connor Boyack once again. And boy, this guy is he's in some trouble with Salon and Fashionable Opinion because his children's book series, The Tuttle Twins, has just released its latest edition, and that is The Tuttle Twins and the Search for Atlas, which is loosely based, of course, on Atlas Shrugged. And you know Ayn Rand is the only libertarian these people know over at Salon. So boy, did they blow their top at him. So I want to talk to him about that. Also, he has a book, brand new book for a slightly older audience, a book I love very much called Lessons from a Lemonade Stand, An Unconventional Guide to Government. Connor Boyack is president of the Libertas Institute, which is a Utah-based public policy think tank. He is an all-around great guy. He does a million things, not least of which is he created the LibertyClassroom.com website and helped get that off the ground. He has been an indispensable guide for me through the world of technology over the years. Guide? What do I mean, guide? He does it for me. So he's just a jack of all trades, a very, very impressive person. He's one of a handful of people in the world. I would say if I had some major project, I would say I need this guy, this specific person on my team. So Connor, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, Tom.
All right. You have gotten Salon upset at you, which to me is half the fun of this whole thing. But this is another entry in that Tuttle Twins series, the Tuttle Twins and the Search for Atlas. So we'll go through and talk about what the storyline is here. Mm-hmm. But man, did that trigger Salon, because, of course, Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged are the only things they know about libertarianism. So you finally said something that they can understand without, you know, cliff notes or something. So they came after you. And I think there's just interesting lessons to be learned in this whole thing. So first of all, the Tuttle Twins series, I've already explained, is a children's book series that conveys a lot of important ideas in ways that are digestible for children and that are typically based on some classic book from our tradition, whether it's The Creature from Jekyll Island or The Law or Economics in One Lesson or The Road to Serfdom or whatever. In this case, it's Atlas Shrugged. Now, how do you make that digestible for children?
By leaving a lot out.
How about that? Yeah.
I have to say at the outset here, the response from Salon reminded me in a lot of ways of Bob Murphy in your interview with a zombie, right? When you were pitching your nullification book and his character in that video interview that you did, he could only say like a few words that he would, you know, that the media latches onto. In your case, nullification and racist and whatever. And in our case, it's like Ayn Rand, you know, selfishness and so forth. And so seeing the response from Salon was humorous because their lexicon of libertarianism is, as you point out, extremely minute. I mean, like you say all these other things about spontaneous order and economics and liberty and whatever. And like it didn't touch their radar. But the moment we do a book on Ayn Rand, we get the write-up. And so, hey, it's great for marketing, if nothing else. But to your point, right, we have to leave a lot out. We're not touching objectivism. We're not getting into the extremes of the virtues of selfishness. We're not getting into all the, you know, sexual morality stuff that Rand likes to throw in a lot of her books. Really, what we wanted to distill down for kids was kind of the more common sense, more palatable lessons that you can learn in Atlas Shrugged. So the importance of hard work, the importance of keeping what you earn, the destructiveness of socialism, the value of hard work, supply and demand, production versus consumption. What happens when the producers in a society leave and people continue to want to consume the things to which they feel entitled? These are all kind of lessons and ideas that we can extract from Atlas Shrugged in a very positive way, in a very pro-child way that parents, especially those, because remember, we're not just appealing to libertarians. We have kind of our core market, but these books, I would say more than half of our customers have never heard of you know, Leonard Reed or Henry Hazlitt or Hayek or any of these authors or their works that we're basing these books on. They just hear, oh, these are good books that teach my kids about important principles. And then they buy it and then they read it. And we're introducing a ton of new people to these authors and these works and these ideas. And so we have to make sure that the ideas that we're delivering in this format are palatable, are, you know, within the realm of common sense. And if we were to include some of Rand's other stuff, I think we would deviate. But again, that's what Salon latches onto. They think that we're only painting the extremes in this book, and that we're introducing children to the more memorable and controversial ideas in Rand's work. And that's simply not true.
Also, I think one of the frankly common ideas out there is pretty juvenile and needs to be addressed from a young age, which is, this guy running the place is just some parasite. I could run this place better than he could. I know better than he does. And yet then you try to do it and the whole thing falls apart. You don't realize that actually it takes an awful lot more to hold this whole enterprise together than you think it does. It's not just some fat guy with a white mustache reclining in his chair and smoking a cigar, sitting around all day, living off the proceeds, letting the thing run itself. That's not the way it works. So this presumption that you puncture in the book very nicely that, let's just get rid of these terrible blood-sucking parasites and replace them by us or just any old person, has pretty bad results, to the point where you start begging to get those people back after a while. I mean, that is the kind of thing you should have some fundamental understanding of, and yet a lot of people never break out of this childish approach to the world. Infantile, really.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, because in sharing the Salon article on Twitter, I was looking at, or when other people were sharing it, I was seeing the commentary that they were putting, and several times people would say something like, this is why we send kids to school, is to get this selfishness out of them and to help them understand the world. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Tom, the very issue that you just brought up is one I think that our public education system exacerbates, and that is this arrogance, this presumption of understanding how the world works, this simplification of extremely elaborate processes where if you and I were to, you know, taking the iPencil approach, really analyze the breakdown of all the people and parts and processes involved, I think that inspires humility to say, oh my gosh, it's amazing that we have a pencil, let alone an iPad and a car and whatever. Whereas I think our system, the culture, the education establishment exacerbates quite the opposite. So to say that, well, we don't, this crazy Tuttle Twins book, you got to send your kids to school to breathe that out of them and educate that away. No, I think it's quite the opposite. I think the system very much encourages this arrogance of, I could do that better than you can. When really, I think the world doesn't quite work that way. And so if anything, I think we need an antidote to what many of these kids are getting in school, are getting in our culture. And that's kind of one of the quote, sinister ideas behind the book series, and especially this book, is to, you know, empower parents with that antidote, because I think that is a huge problem that our culture and environment really fosters.
I was actually going to make that same point, so I'm glad you did that. But it's this idea that everything you see around you, the abundance you see around you, really, it either happens automatically or the process by which it happens is so uninteresting that we don't even really need to tell you about it. It's much more important that we explain to you how a bill becomes a law, because that's really what makes the world go round, is bills becoming laws and people with bullhorns ordering everybody around. When in fact, what really makes the world go round is the complete lack of bullhorns, is just spontaneous cooperation across fields and industries and firms, where there's this interlocking structure of production that makes possible what we see around us. And something as simple as a pencil, as we learned in that essay, I Pencil, and in your book on that subject, actually has a very, very complicated series of steps that are necessary to follow to create it. And nobody gets that. No kid gets that in school.
They don't, not only do they get that, but they end up you look at the people who believe the same things that the Salon writer does. You look at, Occupy Wall Street and the Bernie Sanders people, they end up criticizing the very systems and processes that have produced the things that they use and take for granted, right? It's like people using iPhones to coordinate this protest, to protest capitalism, right? And so in this Salon article, you see them talking about, so here he says, that the book introduces, the joys of libertarianism through a capitalist nightmare centered around a circus. And just the phraseology, the way they introduce this stuff shows that they don't understand this stuff at all. And as you point out, like, kids are not only are they not getting these ideas in school, they're being in some cases they're just left out, and that's understandable. But in some cases, ideas quite contrary and hostile to these ideas are being introduced. What I found most interesting in the Salon articles was when they said that in the Tuttle Twins, it says the Tuttle Twins teach us that it's okay to be selfish so long as you can depict everyone less fortunate than yourself as lazy and entitled. And of course, that's not what the book does. This reader, did not read the book. And yet that is kind of the caricature of what a libertarian believes, that there's no rational basis for our principles. There's no objective metrics by which we can judge the veracity of the things we believe. It's just that we're bigoted, mean people who are painting our opposition as lazy and entitled. When in the book, if this guy were to actually pick up a copy and read it, in our version, I should point out, it's not that in our case it's these clowns. I mean, I should maybe briefly mention kind of the overall landscape of the story.
Right.
It takes place at a circus. The clowns end up being kind of the socialists, the people who feel that they're entitled to, you know, lounge around and yet still enjoy the fruits of other people's labor. Chief among them is a clown named Krugy, who we named after Paul Krugman to kind of espouse those central planning ideas. And so here's Atlas, who's a producer. He's helping other people of his own free will and choice. He's very strong. He's the strong man of the circus. He's kind of the star performer. And yet he begins to feel frustrated that everyone else, especially the clowns, feels entitled to the product of his labor. And so he gets so frustrated that he ends up leaving. He says, "I quit." He takes off. And the circus begins to fall apart because the very people who were relying on him for help to feed the animals, to set up the tent, to whatever, now no longer have his assistance. Less people start coming to the circus, and so the ringmaster has less revenue. He has to start firing people. Things begin falling apart, and the clowns are like, "What gives, right? We want stability. We want the status quo." And yet they were not producing at a level to allow them to consume at the same level. They were mooching, to use Ayn Rand's term. They were moochers off of Atlas's, you know, production. And so for the Salon writer to say that, you know, we're teaching kids it's okay to be selfish so long as you can depict everyone less fortunate than yourself as lazy and entitled is flagrantly false. It's simply not true. But again, this is kind of the caricature of our idea rather than the underlying ideas. And frankly, I think these are ideas can be simplified enough for even kids to understand. Perhaps I should note also Salon writers and congressmen. It's simple enough. If they were to pick up the book, I think they can understand. Unfortunately, they don't. And so we get caricature writing such as this article.
More with Connor Boyack after we thank our sponsor. Folks, I do a lot of traveling, so I am a bit of an authority on this question. And I'll tell you something, my favorite suitcase by far is the Away suitcase. I have one of their carry-ons, which come in two sizes. And the beauty of it is, it takes into account everything that drives travelers crazy. So if you're an overpacker, don't worry about it. The interior has an amazing compression system. Don't worry about wheels getting stuck. You got four beautiful 360-degree spinner wheels. That ride is going to be nice and smooth. You got a removable washable laundry bag to keep your disgusting clothes away from your nice ones. It's made with premium German polycarbonate that's very lightweight. It bends, never breaks. Plus, your suitcase will charge your cell phone, plus anything else that's powered by a USB cord. Away bags and accessories make the perfect gift with their lifetime guarantee and 100-day trial. So there's a perfect size and color for everyone on your list this holiday season. Or grab an Away gift card if you can't make up your mind. Not to mention free shipping, and even better, for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/woods and use promo code WOODS during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/woods and use promo code WOODS at checkout. Connor, you have an organization called the Association for Teaching Kids Economics. I'm sure Salon will be absolutely delighted to learn about this and what what this organization is up to. What exactly is this organization up to?
So it's not enough to let, you know, homeschool parents or libertarian parents just buy these Tuttle Twins books for their children, an action to which Salon and others like them would object. They write this off as propaganda. They think it's wrong that parents are exposing their children to these ideas. Of course, it's totally okay for the, you know, school system and others to introduce them to quite hostile ideas. Parents, for some reason, aren't allowed to to teach their children the values and ideas that they believe, but whatever. So it's not enough to simply do that. We've done over, I think, 120,000 books now, which is amazing. I'm super excited by that. But late last year, mid last year, we started this side project where we wanted to get the books into school classrooms. We recognized that for all the work that we can do to introduce one family at a time to this series and the children that they have, there are so many more children out there that we need to reach that maybe their parents would never buy the books. And so we set up this organization, the Association for Teaching Kids Economics. It's not for teaching kids libertarianism or anarchism or politics or anything. It's economics. The beauty of that is that it's benign enough that school teachers are very open to it. In fact, a lot of curriculum requirements require teachers to teach economic ideas. And of course, as your listeners know, economics and politics are so inherently intertwined. It's basically human interaction, the foundation of that, which I think leads into different applications if we're talking about economics or politics. But using economics as the vehicle, we can talk about political ideas because they're inherently related. And so this association is designed to raise money from donors to buy copies, print special edition copies of the Tuttle Twins books, especially the Miraculous Pencil book, because that's a really easy book to kind of get in the door for someone new. And then we build curriculum around it, lesson plans, activities that we give to the teacher for free. Every kid in the class gets their own copy of the book. If we're setting up these classroom ambassador programs where someone think from like Young Americans for Liberty or whatever could go into the classroom and do a little presentation or an assembly and talk about these ideas a bit more. So we've had some early success. We've been starting primarily in states that myself and our executive director are in, Utah and Arizona. We're just now starting in Idaho. We're doing a little bit in Texas, and then we'll expand from there. We've been sending thousands of books in the past few weeks alone to classrooms in those states because we've been able to find donors to fund that operation. The response has been awesome. We've heard from a ton of teachers who are really excited by this because either they're like-minded and so they want to pass these ideas to their students, or they're not like-minded, but they recognize the value of teaching their students about economics. And in some cases, you know, hey, I have this curriculum requirement and I always struggle to figure out how to, you know, talk to kids about economics. So here's an off-the-shelf thing. All the kids get a book, win-win situation. And so we're at the very early stages of this. But as we develop the organization, every Tuttle Twins book is going to get its own, you know, curriculum and activity workbook and lesson plan and so forth. And then teachers will have training. We're going to have this online training portal where teachers can learn themselves more about economic ideas so that we can have a lasting impact in the years ahead as they continue to talk to new groups of students that come through their classroom. And so, and we're focused, I should note, on the K through 8 grade ranges, primarily third to like sixth grade, but we'll do all of K through 8. And no one else is working in this space. There's a few organizations like FEE and IHS that are now moving into the high school arena, but no one is working in K to 8. And so we have a lot of opportunity, a lot of need, and what we've seen so far, a lot of demand. And so that's a really exciting thing that we have all these resources with these books, and we're able to now start delivering them straight into the classroom.
So that's the roughly the age range for those books. And that leaves, as you later noted, a bit of a gap for what about your older children who, you know, maybe we wouldn't even classify them as children. I don't want to be scolded by Robert Epstein. But in other words, you at some point you want to start introducing ideas at a somewhat higher level, but maybe not quite at a graduate school level. So you now have yet another book. I think I'm violating some principle of book marketing by talking about two books in one episode, but who cares? This one is called Lessons from a Lemonade Stand, An Unconventional Guide to Government. First, let me just ask you just quickly, what is the age range that you recommend for this book?
So I intended this book to be targeted towards teenagers.
I'll give you more time to talk about it in just a minute, but I want to situate people in this by reading my blurb from the back cover, if you don't mind, okay? Because I want them to get a sense of what's going on in this book. So great. I don't think I've ever read one of my blurbs on the air before, but here we go. This is my endorsement of Lessons from a Lemonade Stand. Take all the sweet platitudes you've ever heard about government. These wise public servants are innocently pursuing the common good. Government gets its just powers from our consent. Roll them into a ball and throw them away. In their place, read Lessons from a Lemonade Stand. which contains more plain truth about the nature of government than any student ever heard in what we laughingly call our institutions of higher learning. Yeah. Okay. So now
that is a Tom Woods blurb, if ever I read a Tom Woods blurb.
So now you got to go ahead and justify this. Explain to me why this isn't just the same old, hey, kids, call your congressman kind of book.
So this book was born out of a presentation I did about a year ago. I had just a PowerPoint I put together. It's about an hour long. It was for a youth group. I don't know. There were 70, 80 kids in the room. And I talked about, you know, all these ideas. I talked about common law, natural law, statutory law, positive law, malum prohibitum versus malum in se. I talked about mens rea, consent of the governed. And so I was walking through all these ideas connected to law and government. And this kid comes up after and he's like, hey, that was good. Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. I'm glad you liked it. He says, no, it was really good. You should turn that into a book. And I'm like, okay, maybe there's the next book idea. So it was born out of this initial presentation where not only that kid, but a lot of other kids after him came up and were like, hey, this is like, I've never heard this stuff before. And I thought, well, okay, yeah, like kids aren't being taught this. I'm already doing this with younger kids and the Tuttle Twins. Why not expand this? So the idea initially was to target teenagers. But then as I started sending the draft around, I had a lot of response from college students. So, you know, the young adult kind of crowd. And then I sent it to some parents who read or have Tuttle Twins books for their kids. And these are parents, again, who have never read original works. They've never picked up Mises. They, you know, these aren't people who are scholars and studious people within the liberty movement at all. They just like these ideas and they're very new and they're very newly being exposed to them. And so I found that the age range, while it was intended to be for teenagers, because that was kind of the core audience that I had in mind when I wrote the book. It's more of an informal style. It's not long. I wanted to pack a lot in a book that wouldn't be very thick, so it's not intimidating. But that non-intimidating format, I've mentioned this, Tom, before on a different podcast episode that we did, that we didn't plan this at all, but with the Tuttle Twins, we have this secondary audience that was unintended, where, yes, we were trying to teach kids, but in the same vein, we're now teaching a lot of parents who, as I said, have never read these original books, but now they're reading a fun book with their kids, and the parents are learning as well. It's the same thing I found, at least right now, early on with this Lemonade book. We're intending this for teenagers, but we're getting great response so far from young adults and even adults as well who are unfamiliar with these ideas because the tone is very introductory. But it's all based, as the title has pointed out, around a lemonade stand. We've heard these stories around the country of lemonade stands getting shut down by cops and bureaucrats. And so I use that as the hook in the book to say, look, everyone gets upset when that happens. Why? Right? Why is it that people object to that? Yeah, they didn't have a permit. They do have to pay $400. They should have jumped through those hoops, right? And if not, then why not? And if they don't need to for lemonade stands, then why do they need to for, you know, selling things online in their basement? Why do they need a business license? And on to kind of expand that idea, tease it out, and understand the underlying principles. So this is kind of in response to a lot of our Tuttle Twins parents saying, we need more for our older kids. We need more maybe for ourselves. And so now we have an introductory book to these ideas for a little bit older crowd as well.
And let me make clear that this book is, you know, I tried to make it clear in my endorsement of it, but this book introduces people to figures, not just the usual safe libertarian figures like John Locke. John Locke deserves to be mentioned and learned about. I am not disparaging John Locke, but you're not going to get in any trouble with anybody by teaching John Locke. Or even if they want to be really edgy, they might trot out Milton Friedman if they really, really. But this book is going to also introduce them to Lysander Spooner. Mm-hmm. And Murray Rothbard and people of that caliber, you know, that's exactly the age when people should have the opportunity to hear and evaluate those ideas. Not to say that they have to be propagandized, but that they have to at least have a chance. I mean, what is wrong with just giving them a chance to hear ideas that are obviously significant? And these are people who would be listened to if people of this level of intelligence and output. If they were saying the opposite of what they're saying, you better believe everybody would be learning from them. So good that people get a chance to learn this. But I just want people to understand this is a chance to introduce people, you know, teenagers, to ideas that are going to challenge them and not put them to sleep.
And this will be a challenge because some of these ideas are very radical. As you point out, we're introducing controversial figures, but we're talking about the illegitimacy of the state in a tone and in a format that is accessible to teenagers. We're talking about civil disobedience, and I give many examples. And all of this is kind of built throughout the book as we first start talking about, you know, what is law? What is authority? Is it possible at all to give consent to the government? And what are some ways in which that may or may not happen? And once we show that we basically can't give consent to the state, then we talk about why the state is illegitimate and in what cases civil disobedience might be justified. So for a lot of parents who pick up our Tuttle Twins books and think, oh, yay, this can teach my kid important values, I'll be very interested to see, because this book is coming out in just a few days, I'll be very interested to see what their response is when they pick this up, because it is going to be more controversial. But I believe, I agree with you, Tom, that at a minimum, I think especially teenagers, but young adults and adults as well, need to be at least exposed to these ideas so they can consider them.
You've got a number of websites. I'm going to have them all linked at tomwoods.com/1054. Everything will be linked. Libertas, TuttleTwins.com, LemonadeFreedom.com. Everything will be linked there. But if people want to get these books, how would you direct them as the best way to do it?
So they can go to TuttleTwins.com to get those books. That's the easiest place. We have a combo package where we throw in activity workbooks and other bonuses. And so I imagine, Tom, like 99% of your listeners by now have the Tuttle Twins books. But for that one guy out there, TuttleTwins.com is the place. And then right now we're just selling the Lemonade book through Amazon is the easiest place to get it. And then if anyone wants to follow what we're doing, you know, Googling Connor Boyack is pretty much the easiest way to do it. We're kind of all over the place.
All right, good. So I'll have a bunch of links to help people, and particularly to the books at tomwoods.com/1054. Well, good luck. I'll link to that. I should try and remember
the
to link to the Salon
article.
Yeah. It's amazing. You have driven them insane with a children's book. Don't you know that children's books are supposed to just be like, I was going to say dumbed down Salon articles, but how much dumber can they get?
Yikes.
Anyway, Connor, thanks a lot for being here today.
Thanks as always, Tom.
All right, everybody, this is going to help you out. This right here. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. Here's something that's going to help you. I've got a listener of the show who has created a website called speakbetterspanish.com, and she offers lessons in Spanish. She's got free resources. She's got paid services. She teaches students of all ages and skill levels through online personalized conversation sessions, grammar lessons, tutoring, and family lessons. She even offers adventure immersion trips in Spanish-speaking countries. She's got a lot of experience doing this and a discount offer for a limited time for Tom Wood Show listeners. 25% off your first month of online Spanish lessons. So how do you claim that? You book a free consultation with her at speakbetterspanish.com/woods, and you'll get that discount. So if you are thinking of starting a website and you would like to get publicity like this from me and have my audience hear about your site so that when you start your website, it's not just tumbleweeds going by, check out tomwoods.com/publicity. You'll find out all the free goodies I give you when you get your hosting through my link. And one big major part of that is a burst of free targeted traffic to your website. Can't ask for better than that. So check that out at tomwoods.com/publicity. I'm going to link to speakbetterspanish.com on my show notes page for today, which is tomwoods.com/1054. Tomorrow, Gareth Porter joins us to talk about the real history of the Vietnam War. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.